Never left us.
You think Vince gonna stop?
Vinnie Mac was like, pandemic. Who? We still getting these matches off, bro.
He said, I'm Vince McMoney, dog. That's what I do around here. I don't care if they coughing. They gonna cough in this suplex. That's all I know.
Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Welcome back to It's Just Jokes. My name is Joshua Chapman, a.k.a. Slim Ballard, a.k.a. Baby Giannis, a.k.a. Mr. Take Your Girl in Front Your Face. I'm here with my co-host, as always. First, Jesse Pink.
Yo!
A.k.a. Dole MIP, a.k.a. Baby Samoa Joe, a.k.a. Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. Next, it's Kobe Price.
What up?
A.k.a. the homie Kobe, a.k.a. Mr. The Price is Right, a.k.a. Kobe. Last but certainly not least, Derek Smalls.
What's the word, y'all?
A.k.a. D. Smalls, a.k.a. Anthony Mackie Jr., a.k.a. Damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Shout out to Dre for everything behind the scenes and for the intro music. We appreciate you.
Yes.
And I just want to say one thing before I check in with y'all. I did not give myself two of those three nicknames, all right? For anyone asking, I only gave myself the Slim Ballard one, all right? The other ones were handed to me. I'm not that type of guy, all right?
You're not Shaq, you're telling us?
It's Cap.
You're not Shaq?
It's Cap.
Jesse, you gave me the other two. Do
better. It's Cap. You denying it is Cap.
I didn't give myself those. How's that Cap?
No. You didn't give yourself those names. Your actions rewarded you of such titles.
Oh, I didn't. All I was saying is I didn't give myself the nickname. That's all.
That's all I said.
All right.
He's single, ladies. He's single.
As hell. Anyways, gentlemen, how are you doing? Get at me.
The as hell part combined with the previous episode we did where you said you haven't felt a touch of a woman in 87 years. I think that one really came across well.
Thanks for reminding me about that, Kobe.
It's all good. His number is life's good, man. Life's good.
D Smalls.
Man, just living it up, you know, living the dream, man. You know, trying to make something shake, man. That's all I ever do. Just trying to make something shake, bro.
You know? Just like a dream shake, you know what I'm saying? You're just trying to put in the posting.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get in the game, man. That's all.
He got that Karl Malone hook shot going for him right now, so I guess that's something.
Jesse, how you doing? I'm not gonna. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I'm doing nice. You know, my do-rags finally came in, so I'm going to start wearing those now. Start wearing those in my different braids. Because now the hair is long enough to have braids.
So is that going to, like, increase, like, you know, your Jesse-ness by, like, 5 points? Like,
it might. It just...
Not that it might. We've seen Jesse with the straight backs in before. We know what that's like. He be giving hell to these niggas.
Hell.
But yes, we appreciate everybody for tuning in, for listening. We appreciate the support that we got on our first couple episodes. You know, it was all very much noticed and appreciated, and continue to give us 5 stars wherever applicable, and continue to share and spread the word. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at jokes_podcast and the Facebook, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. The Facebook is It's Just Jokes Podcast. We're revamping that page a little bit. So if you can't find it immediately, don't worry. But yeah, so today's episode is all about sports. If you are not a sports fan, I'm sorry. Just fast forward to the end of the episode and give us the...
Time out. All my hoes listening, you have to listen to this. You have to listen to this. I don't give a fuck if you don't know what a basketball is, a football is. I don't care if you know what a soccer is, all right? You going to sit your ass down, and you going to listen to this podcast that we slaved over for a good hour and a half, all right?
Continue, well, Josh.
Not him giving his hoes commands. Talking about
Wow. But yeah, today is all about sports. So yeah, Kobe, if you want to kick it off.
Yes, we're going to be on the sports for today, and not just sports. but bubble sports, because that is what 2020 brings us. That's what
bubble sports.
That's what 2020 brings us with this pandemic, with how everything in the world set up. You got the NBA, WNBA, MLS, WNWSL, and if you want to call it, the MLB has doing their form of a bubble for their postseason. But guys, when the thought of a bubble, when the idea of a bubble first started popping up, what were your thoughts? How were you feeling about it?
It was kind of funny because, like, when the NBA came out with what they were saying about the setup, how they were going to be on the campus at Disney, you know, and all that, I was just kind of like, this sounds like a big-ass AAU tournament. Like, I really got those vibes. I played AAU.
I mean, shit, it essentially was.
But I played AAU for 3 years. I know enough from traveling. That bubble setup is a big-ass AAU tournament.
What's your average, though?
At least a good 10. You know, I was kind of like a... Hey, relax. Look, Josh has seen me in the wreck. You know, I have a corner three. I might not drive on him. I'm not LeBron, but... I'm a spot-up shooter.
Nigga, no one's LeBron, but LeBron. You can't use that.
I'm a better Chris Middleton, you know, a better version. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a Ooh. Better.
Oh, hey. Hey, you're my guy. You're my guy and all, but.
Hey, bro, hey. Chris Middleton is NBA midi. That's still right, good.
Right,
in the
right.
Court.
My midi is tough, though. Don't get it twisted. My midi is tough.
No, like, he's saying Chris Middleton is mid compared to, like, NBA players, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, when I said the Chris Middleton,
well, I don't even say mid, but like
I'm about to say, this is Chris Middleton Hive over here, president over here. Y'all, but put some respect on Chris Middleton's name.
If Chris Middleton's your second, bro,
he's mid. It's in his name.
I play my role. Like, I was really good at playing my role, so like I didn't have to do too much. I was just, you know, shooting threes pretty much. Niggas would kick it to me in the corner. I get about, you know, 10 to 15 a game. So
10 to 15 a game just off of corner threes. That shit don't even sound right.
Right. It's like 3, 6, 9, 12. Wait. I'm doing the math.
So you was knocking 4 threes a game?
4 to 5 threes? That's what you was doing?
Yeah, I think about how long a game is, bro. I get my spots. I choose my spots and I get to it.
But Derek, you were talking about bubble sports before. Yeah, I asked you what your average was.
Our bad. Wow, Derek did AAU. That's wild.
Yeah, my teams were ass, but I played AAU.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
All right. That makes sense. Get back on topic, dog.
That you makes had sense. Us off topic. No. That makes sense now.
Jeez. Right. You had to think you was a hooper, bro. Get back on topic.
I was. I honestly thought if anybody was going to do it right, it would be the NBA just because of how organized they are. And I'm glad to see that it did work out and everything. So, I mean, I'm happy to see that's where they were. I'm not gonna lie, I don't pay attention to that many other sports outside of like basketball, so you know, I wasn't really concerned about the other ones, but I'm definitely glad to see what the NBA did and the structure that they came up with, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I was pessimistic as hell. The NBA had the best layout, but even then, this was back in, like, you know, April. Well, the league ramped back up in like what, June,
last day of July.
Oh, wow. So it ran back up then. But they were talking about this for a while, and I was just like, I don't know how this is going to go off smoothly. Like, you get that many people around each other. But they were pretty good about, you know, doing testing on a regular basis and having people quarantine if they did come up positive, or, you know, when they first got there and all that sort of stuff. Have no idea how baseball got off. Their entire season, essentially, especially with that big run towards like the early part of the season where entire teams were just infected. So that was definitely interesting. Football, I'm still a little skeptical about. As of this recording, the Titans are going to be missing a game and it's going to be pushing stuff back. We'll see where this goes. But football is much more of a contact sport, obviously, than basketball and baseball, with much bigger rosters. And they're going to be playing, I mean, granted, they're still playing outside, but it's going to be playing when the weather turns. So we'll see how this, you know, like I said, we'll see how this really turns out. especially given that, like, football, the other thing about football is, you know, in baseball, you might have a couple pitchers or a couple, you know, outfielders or whatever, and you can sort of shift guys around. But, like, if your entire secondary gets sick, there's not really much you can do, right? Like, there's – you're just kind of SOL, and so you sort of have to, like, you know, delay that game or whatever. Your entire offensive line, because those guys go to meetings together, they hang out together, they work together, like, that sort of thing. Like, football is – those position groups are really isolated in and of themselves. Like, sure, they have the general meetings and, you know, practice and all that kind of stuff, but you mostly spend your time with your position in that film room and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be very interesting to see how all this plays out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, your sentiment. And football is a contact sport, so the probability of these players contracting COVID will be relatively or theoretically higher than different sports. So not only do we have to consider the different sports, but we also have to consider the ways in which these sports leagues and agencies have gone about testing and training players and staff members for COVID-19. Right now, the league that's had the highest, you know, pedigree in terms of COVID testing and training has been the NBA. So much so that the NBA have funded the saliva-based testing for COVID-19 and pretty much induced CDC officials into using saliva-based testing for determining whether people have COVID-19, you know, where players have COVID-19. And now they're using that CDC, that saliva-based testing for the public now. Even though there have now been some hiccups that we've seen from the NBA, or as it happened, you know, the NBA still stands head above shoulders in training and whatnot. And that's the one thing I'll take from it, from all this, because I thought no facility that didn't have a game plan, no sports league, pardon me, that did not have a game plan as to how they would prepare for COVID testing would have a puncher's chance. The only sports league I knew that did was the NBA. And most of that is because of, well, during the time of which the NBA was locked down in March, you know, this is around regular season starting to end, the playoffs are starting to kick off. So that's the NBA season, and that's the NBA season to get money. So, of course, out of all leagues, the NBA had much more of an incentive to rush and find an even more detailed plan and making sure that they have proper testing facilities. I am very curious as to how the MLB will respond after all those COVID test cases that happened, you know, during the regular season. Things are looking good now during the playoffs as of this day of this recording. However, we'll see how things progress during the postseason. I am very curious to how the NFL will go about this, because as you mentioned, Josh, Tennessee Titans and the Minnesota Vikings have shut down all practice as a result of players being contracted with COVID-19. I thought it was very interesting, and I saw this in the ESPN article, that Roger Goodell said it wasn't no surprise that players are contracting COVID-19. So staff members and players will be getting the training courses and that they need to prepare for COVID-19. The NFL really, like, strikes me, because the NFL hasn't came out with any particular detailed game plan as to how they will be making sure there isn't no contraction of COVID-19, or high volume, if you will, as opposed to the NBA. You know, would it be more money and making sure, and would there be more money, for instance, in creating a bubble, essentially the same way how the NBA did? Like, would that be different? Or would the NFL just do a regular season outside the bubble, and then later on in the postseason, would they create a bubble? That's the one, you know, franchise, one sports league I'm really focusing on. Because the NFL, from what we see for ratings, is the most popular, most viewed North American sport there is. But I really wonder how exactly they're going to go about carrying the rest of the season.
The only problem with that is there's just too many dudes on an NFL team.
Exactly. Like, that goes back to your point of saying, like all teams, all sports are different.
Like, for the NFL, there's 53 on the roster, plus the practice squad. That's up to 16 people now. So math, that's 69?
Yes.
Nice. I can't do math, but that's a nice lot.
plus all the coaches that travel, you know, plus all the assistants and all that kind of, like, you're easily looking at 100 people for a football team, right? And, like, the NBA, juxtapose that, the entire NBA is made up of 450 players. Like, obviously, you know, coaches and all that kind of stuff. But the entire NBA was probably 600, 700 people.
Well, they told you for each team, at least for the NBA, I think it was a 35-person travel limit if you're going to the bubble. So whatever, 35 right. times yeah, 22
But I just mean in totality for the NBA. Yeah.
You mean in totality, right? you're not putting in consideration the teams that had qualified for the playoffs.
No, I am. I'm saying in the entire NBA, there's about 450 players.
Just in the entire league.
Plus, you know, the coaching staff. There's like people. Basically 700-800 people that are included in that say that, you know, they work for the NBA, you know, I guess the outer staff. But okay, let's just say 800 people. That's the AFC and NFC East by itself. That's two out of the eight divisions. So like, it's almost, I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it's almost like baseball had to wait into the postseason to sort of do a bubble, and even then they were like, all right, we're going to send these teams to the AL teams are going to go to the NL side, and the NL teams are going to go to the AL in terms of playing at a neutral site and all that sort of stuff. And even then they had to do that once they got to the divisional round, which is still like a lot to ask. Like, and so for the NFL to try to do that, like, they could get away with it, I guess, but it's just another level of mental gymnastics that they haven't even talked about approaching yet. So it would just be very interesting. And I guess as someone that covers, you know, has covered, you know, you've done college football and some NBA games and all that kind of stuff. I guess, like, Kobe, like, where are you at in terms of like where you thought this was? And then I sort of like, I guess where this is now.
I mean, when the idea first came to me, when it first got on my radar, it was like, okay, oddly enough, the idea of a bubble, I didn't hear about it when like the Leafs are mentioning it. Someone came up, his name is Keith Smith. He writes for Yahoo, or he more so freelances. He freelances with Yahoo, he freelances for a bunch of places. And he brought it up like before it really started hitting the public's eye. And when I read it, I was like, I can't see this happening. Like, it just seems so like out of this world, an out of this world idea. It was great. It was creative, but I was like, I mean, this is probably the best idea that they can come up with, but I just don't see it happening. Now we've gone, what, 6 months, or not 6 months, maybe 3-4 months since sports started coming back, and now we're at it. I mean, NBA, Adam Silver said yesterday, no positive tests with the players, coaches, staff members. He said that there was an undisclosed amount of positive tests amongst the workers that came in and out, but in terms of the players and whatnot, fine. WNBA, same thing. They were fine. MLS, they had issues at the beginning, but they got through the bubble pretty smoothly. They had to kick a couple teams out just because they had too many issues, but other than that, fine. NWSL, they had a team not participate because they had an outbreak before the tournament started, but fine. So we were able to see. Now you have the WNBA in the finals, NBA in the finals. We got through this. And for my hockey people, I'm sorry. I don't watch hockey. I didn't mention NHL this entire time. NHL, there you go. So all you hockey people are listening, don't get on me about that.
Okay, all right. Hold on. Let's keep it a buck here. How many of our listeners at this very moment do you think actually give a shit about hockey? If you're out there, I appreciate you. I do. But come on. Like, let's be real here. All right.
Well, the one thing we could appreciate about hockey, and Kobe referenced this, is like how effective they have been in this COVID-19 world and trying to keep us entertained through sport. I think it was released today. I think so. Or it was released on September 29th. I don't think anything like that. That the NHL bubble wraps after 65 days. So the NHL like bubble wrapped up 65 days and there's like no COVID-19 is positive test results. I know I'm pretty much repeating what Kobe had said earlier, but we can at least appreciate that one thing about them. I will say this. If I was an NHL player, I probably would have been that one NHL player to ruin everything. Because if it was me and we got into a hockey fight, I definitely would have coughed on somebody in the beginning. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if we start the fight. I'm taking off my mask. I'm just going to start coughing. No.
Time out.
There was so much going on there. I can't even know where you were starting.
Hold on. Time out. Jesse, how the hell do you just know this? I forgot hockey was even playing. Like, yeah. How?
What do you mean how?
Since when do you?
You know this. Kobe brings topics, and we're supposed to have our perspective on this.
Yeah. No.
You ain't be up in here like.
What's the NHL even on the docket?
Jesse is kind of like a real life Ask Jeeves. Y'all remember Ask Jeeves?
Man, listen. Back in the day, the search
engine. Jesse like a real life version of that search engine.
Ask Groovy.
Ask Jesse. Yeah.
Ask Groovy.
You better ace.
Ask Grizzly.
Hey, put that to the side, Jesse. You can't be telling people your ideas. Put that to the.
Hey, I'm gonna have to, bro. I'm gonna find somewhere to pay out these student loans, bro. This is some cap.
But anyway, now that we're. Like in NHL, they had their finals. NBA, WNBA, they made it all the way through the bubble. Same with MLS and NWSL with some hiccups at the beginning. But from this side of things, working so close to sports, I mean, I can't call it anything less than a success, which at the beginning, I don't think I was pessimistic. I was kind of skeptical and more so curious, but hey, it worked out. It was effective in terms of keeping these players safe and away from the virus for the most part. So I give him credit for it. I was trying to figure out, I know how I feel, but for you guys, how was it watching these games? Whatever league you watch the most, how was it just watching the games? What do you think of like the on-court, on-field product?
I'm not going to lie to you. So like when they came out with the logistics of the NBA bubble and one of them being that they're going to include 2K noises, I was pretty confident that it was going to be like corny or come off as like weird. And I was like, I'm going to hate this. Like as I'm watching like a playoff game or whatever, but it actually doesn't sound that bad as I thought it was going to. Like they timed them pretty well, I guess you could say, in terms of like when somebody does something. So, I mean, it's not too bad watching the games. I think it's kind of, it takes away a little bit from the hype when you can't, you know, have like fans like going crazy. Like, you know, when somebody hits a game winner or whatever, like, of course, that's going to look one way on, like, a regular world instead of, you know, the bubble. But it hasn't been too bad for me. I think you get more of, like, the pure game with there not being fans in there because, like, there's not many outside, you know, distractions. So, like, you're really just getting basketball, which is, you know, fantastic. I just think one thing, too, that came out of this specifically to me, and I don't know how our audience feels about this, but even, like, the content that grows from, like, everything being virtual-ish or whatever with the bubble. So everything's being more emphasized now. Players themselves are having more of like a social media presence. I know I've been catching a lot of the vlogs that have been put out on YouTube, whether it be Matisse Thybulle's YouTube channel or JaVale McGee's. I just think it hasn't been as bad as I thought it was going to be. I still enjoy watching the games. And honestly, it's been, to me, a little more competitive because I felt like if it was a normal year, the teams that you would expect to win, right, probably would have moved on. This is just my.
No, the Clippers are still going to Clipper.
I don't think they would have if we were in a real world, bro. I don't think.
They're still the Clippers. They're still the Clippers.
But you think they? You think that them being in the Staples Center, having the home court advantage,
bro? The Staples Center. You just said this. You said a juxtaposition. Them having home court in the Staples Center.
Okay, you know what I mean.
Staples Center is not but dead ass, bro. Like I remember Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, talked about this. He's like, we don't retire everyone's number. We don't put up division. We only put up championship banners. Like that's the arena that you still share. You share an arena with that, right? And like so, you have to put up something over that. It still very much is a psychological thing. Plus, none of them niggas look like they like each other, bro. Like none of them. Like, I feel like they would have still gonna be. They're still the Clippers. Like at the
hold
end
on,
of the
hold
day.
On. Time out, Derek. You mean to tell me you thought Paul George, playoff key is going to be a difference maker? Would have been a great difference maker if the coronavirus never made a big impact to where it put the NBA in a bubble. You mean you telling me playoff P would have gone even more berserk?
And pandemic P, pandemic P,
right. way off P.
He wasn't cold. He was anemic.
You funny. Oh, God. You funny. No, bro.
Yo, someone called him the LeBron James of Chris Middleton's.
He is. Like, he is. And I will revisit what I said earlier. Chris Middleton is Mitty. It's in his name. Middleton. Because he'll never be top 10. This ain't SportsCenter top 10.
Oh my God. This is a bad day.
Something to say to me. What's popping?
Boo. Get off the stage.
I was running with you. I was running with you until you said that.
You wasn't never running with me because you thought the answer was playoff P.
I just think that in a normal world, I just think that having the crowd and everything, I think it adds a little bit. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they still would have lost, right? Who knows? But I don't think the whole landscape of the playoffs and everything, and even like the play-in games, you know, when I believe that's when T.J. Warren was actually going off, right? Like, it wasn't the playoffs, right? It was the actual play-in games. I don't think that would have happened, obviously, in a normal world. Like, the bubble shifted a lot of things, you know, good and bad, so.
Wait a minute. Hold on, bro. You kind of did T.J. Warren bad, bro. You kind of said, hey, if T.J. Warren was hooping in front of his mom, he would have never went off.
We're not going to see
him. He would never hooped the way how he did. Hey, focus as hell.
Bro, we're not going to sit here and act like T.J. Warren would have been actually going off in a normal world. Like, come on. We're not going to do that.
Dude is a hooper. He's a scorer. Right?
Dog averaged like 26 at NC State. And he just came into the league just hooping.
I know who he is, right? Like, I'm not saying that. But when did we really, really, like, put our eyes on him until he started, like, doing that? Like, in the regular season, there was no, oh, my God, T.J. Warren's doing
well, one, he's in Indiana.
It didn't start until they got into the bubble.
He so, is like, in Indiana, market, so it's like the, I'm not market, really looking at Indiana.
The market does play a bit into that. But, like, the knock on T.J. Warren was never that he couldn't score. It was the other end of the court, right? And so it was just like how much is he giving up on that end so it negates the scoring? But he's always been a decent scorer. It's just that, yeah, he went crazier than usual in the bubble. That's correct. But it's not like he's just coming out of nowhere. It's not like Keith Bogan started scoring at some
Uh-oh.
Point.
Uh-oh.
No, we're going to keep it at that. We're going to keep it at that.
I know where this is going.
No. We got a lot more to get through.
I can feel the tension.
We got a lot more to get through. I'm going to leave that alone. But it's not like someone like that just started, like, scoring, dropping 30 a game out of nowhere. Like, T.J. Warren's a valid scorer in the NBA.
Yeah, if like another T.J. on the team, T.J. McConnell started dropping 30.
Right.
One, it would be like, whoa. Second, Josh would be like, damn.
Nah, he's a nice hustle player, whatever. I don't care. We got Glenn Rivers now. It's cool. There's only one Doc in Philly, or two. There's Doc Holliday and Dr. J.
Right, so. That's it. Glenn Rivers.
Sounds like an accountant name right there.
Like a nurse. Glenn Rivers, yes. That sounds like a nurse.
Sounds like the waiter. It's like, yes, my name is Glenn Rivers. I'll be taking care of you tonight.
Can you imagine him serving you? Like, serving
you? Our special.
What's your favorite dessert? The Throat Lodgings. They're really good. It's like, oh.
Wow.
Wow. You are on one today, Jesse.
How'd you feel about the games? How they feel for you? How they feel to watch?
Oh, so the games. Yeah, like, honestly, like, I hated when the leagues, whatever league it was usually, like, baseball or whatever. But when they would put the virtual fans in the stands, like the computer and graphics ones, I don't need that. I mean, it makes it look more awkward if anything. Like, actually watching it, like, the first week of anything, it's like, all right, this is really weird. But then you just kind of get used to it, right? Like, it's kind of like, all right, it's whatever. So I remember Julian and I, my cousin, were sitting up and watching, like, a bunch of, like, English Premier League soccer, I think, in May, whenever that started up again. And so, like, that for the first week was like, man, this is so weird. And then after a week of that, we were like, okay. The only thing I think they should have done for all of these is, like, pumping noise to the actual stadium, right? Like, because we're seeing it on the TV broadcast, but we're not seeing it actually, like, the players aren't hearing it. And so for a player, I can imagine how, like, weird this is that, like, you're basically practicing against another team, but it counts. Like, there's no one in the stands, there's none of that. Like, even at these practices in the regular season, pre-COVID, teams would, like, have, like, you know, stadium, like, some sort of noise going so that there's something in the background. So that's the only thing I would have changed. But actually watching it, like, it's cool. We, you know, in the NBA bubble, we definitely got to see who the real hoopers were, like, the people that were just so focus and locked in and all that kind of stuff.
We saw hoopers for real, bro. There will be no TJ Warren slander here. I am a believer now. I am a believer of TJ Warren. I'm a believer of TJ Warren. And I believe the NBA, out of all of the sports leagues that came out and tried to give us a entertaining product during sports, did the best job. I mean, especially with the virtual fans. You know, that was still try to get interactive as much as it could be. I thought that was nice. I will say, I wish the NBA was ran by niggas, because when it was hot than a mug, do you know, with those 2K sounds, I would have been like, no. Let's not do 2K sounds. We're going to put all on a blacktop. We're going to get this NBA Street Jams like soundtrack, and we're going to run this. We going to run
this. I did not
this.
Know where you were going at first.
We going to run this. Like, hey, Lakers, get your three best players on Lakers. Get your three best players on the Clippers. Let's go up to 21. Let's just go up to 21. They would have balled out if we would have did it that way. They would have got all the points in 21.
You know, now that I think about it, the one other thing I didn't like is for the NBA, like, I actually wanted to hear what these guys are saying on TV or, like, in the game.
Now, you know,
like,
good and well.
That's
going to mess up their TV money if they
– Right, bro, that's going to mess up.
But, okay, so here's the thing. So, The Last Dance, when they did it, they had one version on ESPN2 that was without the cursing and all that kind of stuff. And they had one version that was, like, with all the F-bombs. And the ones with the F-bombs was so much more enjoyable because you see how, like, insanely competitive these dudes are. So if you want to put this on, like, ESPN3 or ESPN News or just through the app or whatever, that's fine. But to give us that experience, to, like, actually hear how these guys are communicating, talking, and all that kind of stuff, how much shit they're talking, but also, like, how much they're actually talking to each other on the court, like what they're calling out defensive coverages or whatever. Like, I would have really enjoyed that because we don't know if we're ever going to get that sort of like access to the game ever again.
No, that's fair. I understand that. But then it's kind of hard to argue that from an executive that somebody saying, I'm going to fuck you up is going to be really part of a sports experience, dog. That's kind of tough to sell. But I do understand where you're coming from. That is one thing I would have liked to saw from the NBA. I also do like how the NBA did with the sounds. The NFL's kind of just trying to attempt the same thing. It's still a little bit weird to like see the empty crowds though, the empty stands. So it's just like, huh. It was nice how baseball incorporated some fans, especially started during the regular season, right? They just staggered the fans and made sure they were socially distanced. But it was nice. But baseball,
no, that's not MLB.
That wasn't MLB. Who did that? Because I
know that was the NFL. The NFL had people in the stands.
Okay, so, okay, then yeah.
So baseball had the cutout and stuff.
Yeah, my bad. I flipped. Okay, so I like how the NFL did that. I guess every now and again, you can just see the empty crowds, the empty rows, and you're just like, So I thought that was nice. I thought the NFL, it just having that interactive. What they need to do is do exactly what WWE's doing, have that glass ceiling and stuff. Like, I mean, have that glass protective and stuff.
Oh, the Thunderdome.
Yeah, the Thunderdome have people right there.
Shout out to WWE going strong.
For real.
Never stopped. Never left us.
You think Vince going to stop?
Vinny Mac was like, pandemic. Who? We still getting these matches off, bro.
He said, I'm Vince McMoney, dog. That's what I do around here. I don't care if they coughing. They going to cough in this suplex. That's all I know.
Max.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's real. I mean, the Thunderdome, I'm not going to lie. I was happier when they were wrestling in front of just the crew. Because the Thunderdome.
Oh, the NXT kids?
Yeah, the NXT or even like the other wrestlers. Or the crew in the arena who has to work there.
Well, yeah, when they were at the Performance Center, it was all in front of Performance Center trainees. So it really was like the kids and all that kind of stuff. But the Thunderdome is a cool experience from the standpoint of like, it makes them feel bigger, like the stuff that they do, because like when they, like they had Roman Reigns return, and Roman was like, I'm not doing this for a while, dog. Like, I'm just not like, we at the Performance Center, all that kind of stuff. Like, nah, I'm good on it. So I think the one thing that they should go back to doing is taping all of these, like, product, like, these shows instead of trying to do it live. Like, if there's no people, actual people in front of the stands, like, who cares? Like, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah, I don't feel too strongly one way or the other, so I get that. And you can edit more, you have that part of it. But that, I just, it's something I'm sad about. It's so weird, it's so bright. And then some of the people aren't even paying attention and it feels like they're behind. I always wanted to be, if I could, I kept joking about it with my girl, like, I want to be in the NBA stands. Like, I want to be one of those people just to see what they see. But watching it from home, I never went inside any of the bubbles, so I've been watching purely from home, and it was cool. The NBA, I mean, I'm thinking about watching all of them. The NWSL was cool. The MLS, at first, they weren't piping in noise. They weren't using any of that, so it was really cool to your points. Like, it was really cool to hear the noise and all the yelling and all the banter. And to the, like, the broadcast, they bleeped it out. They would just, they're broadcasting at a time. So you would just hear like a solid 3 or 4 seconds where there'd be no audio. You'd be like, well, what was that? But then you realize, ah, there were some
F-bombs dropped there. Let people cuss. Let people cuss. Who cares? Grow up.
I'm tired of that, bro. And grow up. It could be something like the hell. And they just, I'm like, bro, y'all really trying.
You gotta grab that.
Right. That's even worse.
And it's just like,
that's even worse.
And it's just like, dog, like,
What did he grab? That's even worse, bro. My imagination's scarier than what you definitely tell me what he did. Like, you better grab bitch. It's just like, okay. But if you say, you better grab that, it's like, Kevin Garnett, what did you just say? Like, I don't know. I definitely do agree with that point with Kobe, but it's just like, I guess, like, kids are watching this too. Not, I guess. Kids do watch this. So then, like, you also have to be more parental advisory on that point.
So, yeah, I mean, with the NBA, they had the noise. I mean, you see the leagues, they added in noise, like, as this continued, because they started realizing kind of how lifeless the game kind of was. Or I'm sure for some people, for me, I was fine hearing the noise. Like, I was cool with it. It would, maybe I listened to some music while watching the game, or maybe just hear the players. Like, I was not mad about it, but the noise is cool. The environments were weird because I'm not sure, like, this, I covered MLS team, so I'm watching it all the time, obviously, but they had this wall and it's ads. It's like that wall was clearly made just for all ads. Like, that's all the wall was. It was just like, oh, you see, it's Target, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, like, they're just all over. So that was really weird to watch. NBA, I actually liked it. I liked it, and it made me think, you know, I wish that arenas would push the fans back. Like, the fans are so close on NBA courts, and understandably so. Like, if you got courtside seats, you want to be, like, right up on LeBron. You want to be right up on KD. But at the same time, I think about the NFL, and, like, they're not right up on the field like that. Like, right. The NFL teams, fans aren't, like, sitting next to players. Like, if you get a nice enough seat, you can literally sit next to the team. So when I was watching it for NBA and WNBA, I literally thought they could really just push the stands back, push it, the seating back all the way, just so you, that players can have that kind of separation and so they can have more space. Because when we saw that pass that Kyle Lowry made against the Celtics, I think that was game 3 of the semifinals.
When OG gamed him.
Woo! Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that pass wouldn't happen in a game in an arena because Kyle Lowry wouldn't have had that space to back up as far as he did. Yeah. Or Chris Paul made a pass where he was like 5 feet away from the line. I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually really cool. And they ain't got to worry about fans being up all of them. We already know that these fans be agonizing players like crazy. Shout out to Russell Westbrook in the Utah.
Yo, Russ. My favorite thing about that,
and he still found a way to get into it with the fan.
Yes, he yelled at like the kids at the Lakers. He was yelling obscenities at them. But my favorite thing about the Russ situation back in Utah was just like how calm he was about the entire. He's like, no, I will fuck you up. Like, no, you right there and your wife. I'm like, I will fuck you up. Like, that's a man that has nothing to lose at that
point. Someone spewing impotence and being enraged is one thing. Someone calmly saying it, you better leave. They have already made the conscious decision to kill you. Yeah. And they are at peace with that. You have to leave.
He's like, I will take whatever suspension, fine, expulsion from the league comes with this, but I will do this, so help me God. That's the most scary type of human being on the planet, other than, you know, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like,
niggas, hold on.
Now, to your Russ point, I said he still found a way to get into it with whatever fans would show up. Not just the kids, but Rondo's brother.
It was yes. Rondo's brother, yeah.
And the barber, you were like, okay, so maybe Russ just something about Russ is just a
little bit.
That's why his lineup was suffering, bro. Like, I'm talking shit.
I was about to say that Russ was standing up for all the players in the bubble that was getting fucked up at the chair. Look, that's what he was doing.
Well, that's what he was yelling the whole time.
Hey, bro, you just fucked my back.
Yo, it's sort of like Russ gets into it with anybody. Sometimes it's like, it's just like, you know, Mary J. Blige still singing about niggas at 50. It's like, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you.
Maybe I don't know where that came from.
Maybe you're the
one. I really know.
It's like, maybe you're
the one. I ain't gonna hold you. That sounds like something I would do, because that came out of nowhere. But that is spot on.
Overall, they were all solid. Like, I'm not, the MLB was the weirdest one to me at the start, because you could really feel how lifeless it was, just because there's so much stop and start to it. Is just like, all right, now the pitch, and then you see all these empty and they, it was also weird because they actually were playing in their stamps to start, like, at least with the NBA, WNBA, like the other leagues, they built arenas knowing they weren't gonna have fans. MLB and NFL, but MLB was the first, like, hey, yo, we indie stadiums. So, like, you just saw how lifeless it was.
To that point, too, there's if anyone's ever been to a baseball game, there's pretty much a constant, like, sort of buzz at a baseball game. And that's just because, like, you have 50,000 people, like, sort of, like, leisurely talking at one point. Like, it's very rare to be at a baseball game and there just complete dead silence. So, to not even hear that is just kind of, like, yo, like, that's kind of wild.
Yeah, no, it was strange just visually to see it, because the other leagues built, like, they were like, yo, you're going to try not to notice it. And then it's like, all right. And you can tell the announcers are trying to, like, figure out a way to talk over it. They're like, all right, what you eating for dinner tonight? Be like, Bob, we're only in the third inning.
Oh,
like, we have
wait.
So much more.
Yo, do you remember that? Speaking of announcers, that Reds announcer that got,
like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was messed up.
That was bad. That was bad from the standpoint, like, not only was he said some very anti-LGBTQIA things, but then also in the middle of his apology, he just casually called the home run. Like,
yeah, like, that was bad on all fronts.
He wasn't on. He forgot he punched in, bro. He forgot he was on the clock. That's all I saw.
No,
because he.
I also just wanted to say, there's no Mary J. Blige slander over here. I was just making a joke, y'all. There's no hateration.
We love Mary J. Blige over here.
We love Mary J. Blige and the boots and all that kind of stuff.
Everything was effective. The gameplay, play of the games were effective. It was all good. They kept them safe. I enjoyed the games, but for a minute, it looked like with some of these leagues, we may not finish. And I think we all know what I'm talking about when I mean we may not finish. For a moment, it looked like some of these leagues weren't going to finish their seasons. And it happened after the shooting of Jacob Blake. Thankfully, thanking God, he's still alive. But rightfully so, a lot of these players, they were upset. And you could tell they were upset because coming into this, we were already in the aftermath of the George Floyd shooting, which really kickstarted a lot of protests before we even got into these bubble settings. And to see another Black person shot by police officers, it was another example of, here we go again. We were trying to do our part to stop this. It was almost like, look, you could prevent this pandemic from affecting the players. You could do all these things, but you're not going to stop from racism affecting them. Racism's still going to affect them no matter where they are. And we touched on this a little bit in a previous episode about just all the racial tensions and all the racial injustices that have happened just this past year or these past 2 years. But when you saw these protests come about, or not protests, the strikes, when the players went on strike for the couple of days they did, what were you thinking? What were you guys feeling? And just to touch on it a little bit, what was going through your heads?
All right, I'll just say something real quick. It reminded me of, remember when Laura Ingraham had told essentially LeBron James and Kevin Durant and that backseat interview they had with, I think, Carrie Champion, the beloved Carrie Champion, to shut up and dribble. that's immediately what I thought of, that era. And I remember thinking of an article too around that time, that the era of players to stick to sports and to shut up and dribble and whatnot, that's over. That's over, especially when you have a league that is composed of predominantly African-American men or African-American players, because you have to also have to consider the work that WNBA players have done and a standout and heart-fulfilling moment that Maya Moore had in helping that young man out, you know, beat his case, and they would go on to be equally yoked. I looked at this article, I think it was, today, at the time we recorded this podcast. It was called "The NBA Bubble Was a Success Because It Failed." And it was saying something like the finals league had meant that the experiment would soon be over, but the bubble was the triumph of what it let in. And it was like the real world consciousness of its players. And, you know, we saw this from Jaylen Brown to, you know, Jimmy Butler. It's like saying that he didn't want nothing on the back of his jersey, you know, to players really speaking out, to the NBA capitalizing off of Black Lives Matter and all these protests. It just pretty much makes it clear that sticking to sports is no longer going to happen now going moving forward.
Yeah, I like the fact that you brought up like the players using their voices, Jesse. I know for me in particular, I've enjoyed kind of hearing the things Jaylen Brown has been saying, like in his media pressers and things like that, and just really kind of bringing his voice in. He's always been one of the more active players when it comes to being kind of informed on what's going on. So it's been good to see that. I've really enjoyed the pressure that the players have been putting on this on the league in terms of like needing things to be done. And I'm hoping that they carry through, especially when it comes to comes around to when it's coming to be time to vote. Because I know like these stadiums are supposed to be being used as venues and such. So I just really hope that these initiatives, you know, follow through. But like Jesse stated, you know, earlier, sports in a way have always been intertwined, you know, with politics, whether it be Muhammad Ali and other, you know, historical events in the past that have to deal with African-American athletes. You know, there's never going to be a time where African-American athletes just sit back and say, I'm just going to play ball, you know, and do this and that, because that's not, it wouldn't behoove them to use their platform just to play ball or whatever. Like, they have to use their platform, in my opinion, right? This may just be my opinion, but they have to use their platform for that just because they're looked at on such a higher scale. And that may, and that's right or wrong, you know, that however you look at it. But and it's helpful when they can push a message that's clear and when they put pressure on these owners and such, because, you know, without that pressure, it's definitely going to get pushed to the wayside. You know what I mean? So I've enjoyed seeing everything that's come from the bubble in terms of talking about issues and bringing them to the light.
Yeah, no, we saw this happen as they were entering the bubble. We could already feel that momentum coming in. I mean, you could see it, Black Lives Matter on the court. And that's something that they asked for. And it's not on the players to make the actors, make the owners or governors of these leagues act right. But I thought it would be helpful just because they had to be held accountable to that. You can't say Black Lives Matter and then support causes or support people who very much say
support Donald Trump. Let's keep it a buck. You can't say Black Lives Matter and support Trump.
Yeah, or if it's even if it's not supporting Trump, yeah, you can't do that. But it's also supporting the Republican Party, even though they're historically the party that suppresses votes, right?
Right.
So it's more than, and yes, you can't support Trump and didn't try to say Black Lives Matter, obviously. But it's also more than like they're in this. I'm saying this more than that because this is the thing that they've been doing right. for years.
Right.
And it needs to be brought to the light, because then you put the spotlight on the owners. Like, you're saying all these things. You're saying that you want to help us in these ways, but you are actively, not passively, you are actively doing things that go against us. So what are you really about? Whose side are you really on? And you can take it from there. I've said before, I would love to see, maybe not love, I would be interested in seeing if a high-profile player, pick one. It doesn't have to be like LeBron or KD, but CJ McCollum, if the Magic said that they want to sign him, I don't forget how to pronounce the Magic's owner's name, but if they want to sign him, and he was like, no, I don't want to play for you guys because you guys support Trump, you guys support these things, and I'm just not down with that. Like, I'm a play for a team that does not actively do things against me and my people.
Right. Yeah, that's very fair. There's two points I want to hit on. First is that, you know, Jesse said the time of shut up and dribble is over. and Derek sort of touched on this, but there's never been a time where that's actually been the case. If you think about it, if you go through the history of Black people in sports, right? Jesse Owens at the 32 Olympics, I think. No, that's too early because we're talking 36? About World War II. So whatever Olympics he was at, like that was a statement, because that was a statement to Hitler and Nazi Germany that, you know, they think they're the Aryan race and all this kind of stuff. And a Black man smoked them in like one of the most in track and field and all that kind of stuff, right? The 68 Olympics, right? Where you have the Black power fist up, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all the athletes in the 60s and 70s creating the coalition that they did, you know, with Jim Brown and Muhammad Ali and, like I said, Kareem and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Even Muhammad Abdul-Rauf, like in the NBA, you know, openly being Muslim and not wanting to stand out for the anthem and all that kind of stuff. And then this gets brought back to a certain level of consciousness with Colin Kaepernick in 2016 and all that sort of stuff, right? There was certainly stuff that happened in the 90s and the early 2000s that, you know, it's probably passing me by also because, you know, I wasn't born I was born in that time and I was too young to remember and it's not as well highlighted, but you get my point, like that Black athletes, like to Derek's point, have always felt a level of responsibility when it comes to their platform of being an athlete and speaking out on social change, which is to my second point, is that I really feel bad that the NBA players, particularly when it came to the Jacob Blake case, but also even when it came to just restarting the bubble and some of them being like, I don't think we should do this. What is the message that we're sending? To have this sort of burden on your heart or on your shoulders and feeling like we have to be the ones that say something and do something in order for there to a change to be made. Like, that hurts me because, like, we don't ask white athletes to do the same thing, right? We don't ask Tom Brady to not play football because there's school shootings going around, right? Like, we don't ask Clayton Kershaw not to pitch. We don't ask, like, all these other Mike Trout or all these other white athletes to address the heroin epidemic in this country, right? Like, or homelessness. There's a certain level of responsibility that Black athletes feel like they have. And so then it becomes a question of, should we even be doing this? When, like, really, like, yes, it's great that athletes take their platform and use it in a way that inspires change and uplifts the community and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, they are hoopers. Like, at the same time, these are people that want to just play ball and to do this and to be an athlete, so to speak, and not necessarily have to feel like they have to be a person that is looked up to make change, when in reality it's on the policymakers in general, right, to inspire this sort of change and to inspire these grand sweeping movements in an effective way that they can, right? Because this is what literally, you're a public servant. This is literally what you're paid to do. And I'm not saying that athletes should just stick to sports or any method, or that you shouldn't be this sort of person, right? I don't want anyone to misconstrue my words, but, like, it's the fact that we sometimes hold them to this standard when, like, it's a bit unfair, to be honest with you.
It's a bit unfair. It's also bullshit, because what you're speaking on, it's something that Black people have to do all the time, which is, like, step up and be the educator for things that disproportionately impact them when it's very clear as day that it's impacting them. You know, it's really frustrating, honestly. You know, that goes for Black athletes in general, having to speak up and say something about an issue that's impacting us, and the wondering, like, whether we have to stop the game. Or that's even talking about how the WNBA and how we have, like, so many, like, Black WNBA athletes coming out, stepping up, taking a charge, and not getting full recognition that they properly should get for the amount of protests and stands that they've had too. It's what you're talking about, and you're right. Thank you for for correcting me educationally, because the sticking in the sports era has never been the case for Black people. That era, like, Black people have always have constantly combated with the history, like, that you have brought up. You're absolutely right on that. And I think that also goes to the history of this country, where Black folks have to continuously fight for everything, because black bodies are continuously politicized, and we have to fight for everything, like just for our right to breathe, just for our right to think, even for our right to just stay up and just say something. Like, it really gets me, and I'm really gonna stop here. It's really interesting how black bodies still, when we talk about sports, it's still used as a spectacle. It's that you really see how people or fans get really upset when you see black athletes in particular think and speak and articulate themselves and show that they are not just people that can fancy put a ball through a hoop or make a nice spiral down a down there, the two predominant sports that most black athletes are in, basketball and football, but they're actually law-abiding citizens. They're citizens who actually are impacted by these laws and stuff that are implemented. It's really messed up how in this culture, celebrity is very important than being a political official. And it's weird where black athletes sit in that. Is that on one side, people want to listen to what they have to say because they're celebrity. But on the other side, you don't want to really fully listen to their needs because they have the word black in front of celebrity. So it's almost as if you don't really want to pay attention to the type of issues and needs that they have. It's not messed up. It's bullshit.
And no, y'all right. And before we moved on to the last part, what we wanted to talk about, I did want to both shout out the WNBA, not just because they have been so strong in their protests, so strong in with their strike when they had it. I mean, if you saw their shirts, they acted like they had bullet holes in the back of their shirts, 7 of them to be exact, to almost pay homage to the Jacob Blake shooting. But and now they've only been on the forefront of so many of these protests, of these strikes. But when I mentioned the owner and I wanted to see players go against their owners, the Atlanta Dream were a league and a team that actively did that when U.S. Senator Kelly Loeffler said that she didn't support Black Lives Matter, and they straight up like, we need to get her out the paint. That was it. Now, I don't think they actually got her out the paint like that, but they were actively trying to get her out the paint. So
I mean, they wore T-shirts that said vote for the person that was running against her. So like,
no, valid.
Yeah,
I don't know if they could get her out the paint with her ownership, but they're trying to get her out the paint in her political
life. Real job. Yeah.
Exactly. But what do you guys think is going to happen with sports? We're still having football. Still got college football and NFL. College basketball is looking like it's going to happen.
Listen,
2021 is not that far away.
Those college basketball games, if they were hard to watch before, my God, it's going to be a whole bunch of 40 to 37 games.
Derek's over here like, this is perfect.
Literally.
You ain't going to hear nothing but the clanking of the rim.
I hear this from Josh literally on the daily. But I'm still going to support my Duke Blue Devils no matter what.
So. That's fine. You can. I'm just letting you know that this is probably going to be a rough year to watch. Your leading score is probably going to average like 12 and a half points.
Like how did at AAU.
Hey, that was a great laugh.
You funny as hell.
To be honest with you, the thing I'm actually most looking forward to it is basketball starting later. Like, I actually really enjoy this basketball.
They already said
Christmas games probably aren't going to happen next year. That they're probably going to start in January of 2021.
And if you hear from certain people, they think that's optimistic. They're hearing March. January seems a little too soon.
If there's a way for them to consistently start the NBA year around like Christmas or something like that, somewhere in that, like, I think that's actually great for the league. Like, you push everything back, like, Your best months in terms of your products is going to be in the summer when you're going up against baseball, right? Like, not a whole bunch of people are sitting around watching baseball on TV, which is like, not to, like, I'm a baseball fan, but I also get it, right? Like, it's sort of a long game to watch, a sort of a boring game to watch straight on TV unless you're a fan of that team, right? Or it's the postseason. But you're doing that and you have your most heated, you know, product months in June, July, August, like, that's perfect for you. So I really hope the NBA sticks to this sort of schedule. That way we get the best of basketball on the best of football on, you know, late in the year. We get the best of baseball in October, November, and then that leads right into football, and then that leads right into basketball, which leads right into, like, it's this cycle of, like,
man, we got some really great sports to watch. So yeah.
You know, it was year round.
Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Vince McMoney.
Money, 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 money.
I agree with that, man. I wonder how we're. I do wonder how we're gonna do this, like going forward. You know, I didn't even think of the idea of how the scheduling would go, because I'm thinking of the ideas of, is the NBA gonna have another bubble, or like how much money would it go into, you know, making another bubble, or will we have a vaccine by then? And if we have a vaccine by then, are there going to be different test, certain procedures the NBA players got to go through, or all athletes in NFL or soccer and hockey, or even tennis have to go through, you know? I wonder, like,
tennis,
what we're going to go through with that. Yeah, don't sleep on tennis? This, bro. We're not going to sleep on this. We're not going to sleep on this. Tennis was actually – I'm not going to say tennis was bussing. I'm not saying tennis was bussing this year. But it is one of those summer sports that was around this year.
I feel you. But I only watch for Serena and maybe Osaka at this point.
Right, right. Serena and Osaka. I mean, I definitely understand that. But I'm just saying, I don't. I'm just thinking, like, how would this financially, how would this physically work out next year in terms of testing staff members and all that? And honestly, I think the NBA is going to probably run another bubble. I think the NFL might try something different next year. I don't know. I think broadly speaking, we're going to see another bubble next year. I think we are. But that's just me thinking we're not going to have another vaccine.
No. I'm not going to flame you. You saying that reminded me. Yeah, I like tennis. I don't watch it like that, but tennis is cool. You saying that reminded me. Remember the first, like, sport we kind of had back in America? Do you guys remember, like, the first big sporting event we had? Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, golfing.
Yeah. Oh, dog.
I remember how hype I was for that.
I didn't watch none of that shit.
I didn't watch
that. Y'all didn't watch that? I was the only one?
No, I don't watch golf. Golf is so – I put golf on if I'm trying to go to sleep, bro. Like, I'm not – it's either that or rain sounds. You feel me?
I'm trying to watch golf like on a date, and the story's just like, there's nothing on. Exactly.
Jesse, we get it. You go on dates. Damn.
I don't go on dates. I want
to. No, like, actually, to counter your point, I don't think we're going to do another bubble in the NBA because I don't think those guys can handle it. Like, we did one bubble from like July until now, and everybody is like, yo, I'm sad that we lost, but thank God I'm ready to get out of here.
I wonder who's going to do the mental health, like, report on that. I really want to see that.
So for you to ask dudes to do this for 7 months, they're just going to be like, no, that's not happening.
Hey, fuck it. They won. Like, I want to be here with my family.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, one thing that I was kind of wondering, and I mean, I guess this could somewhat happen with a bubble setup, without a bubble setup. But, like, I don't remember if this was just fan talk or if this was, like, something that may become official in the future. But, like, certain, like, initiatives in the NBA that can affect the outcome of certain things. So, like, certain teams playing each other to get the highest draft pick instead of maybe them having a draft lottery. Like, you know, maybe they switch that up somehow in the future to draw people in more. Or, you know, whatever. Like, I'm just interested to see, with the world being the way it is and kind of like them having to adjust on the fly. Like Josh said, they may not want to do a bubble again because I can't even imagine having to be in the same place that long. I cannot imagine that at all. I would lose on purpose. But, like, I need to get out of here. Like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Said he's going to start point shaving.
Boy, you like, can't.
Oh, no, I missed. Damn.
Well, he's going to lose.
Sorry, coach, I'm sorry. I'm just off tonight.
It's like, coach, I'm mid.
They ain't the type of nigga to lose on, try to lose on purpose but win on accident. It's just like, come on, dog. How?
I got money on the game and I still win. I'm like, fuck.
It's like, damn, this is a one-time one of my money to go down. Really, dog? Like, out of all days. What, damn, you unlucky being lucky. How?
But no, I'm just interested to see kind of what they come up with if we're still in the current state of things by next year when the season starts, just to see what the NBA team comes up with is kind of where I'm at.
All I know is your ass ain't going to be at no AAU program. That's all I know.
Oh, no, I can never coach basketball. I don't know enough, to be completely honest.
We got to put Josh in one of them.
I play my role, though. Yeah. Just know I play my role.
Well, it can't be me, nigga. They gonna get mad at me yelling. I'm gonna be like, put the ball in the hole. What are you doing?
Now it'd be like I'd be like one of the assistant coaches. Like Jesse is like the bad coach. I'm like the good coach. I'm like, hey, he don't really mean it. That's just how he comes across, bro. Like you just gotta take it, bro. Like it's all good.
You gonna take them all out the ice cream to dealing with me?
They'd be like, Coach Ma, I hate Coach Jesse, man. He always on there with me, bro.
They're still gonna be stressed eating ice cream too. Like shit, me too, nigga. Join the club. In the film, he'd be on my hey,
let me see on you, bitch. I'm like, y'all don't even see the coaches' meetings. Like, he be on my head. Like, I mean, look.
Y'all all say the mutiny come to me like, Josh, you have to get Jesse together. It's like, all right. It's like, you can't keep yelling at these kids, Jesse. You can't do that.
I can't be soft on them neither.
Kobe, where do you think we're going to go?
Yeah.
No, I think kind of feel I'm on you with this, on you guys with this. I don't think they're going to do another bubble, any of these sports. One, I'm gonna hit on these topics pretty quickly. One, the cost of it, right? Like these bubbles aren't cheap. It's not cheap to have these teams or this amount of people in these bubble environments with the hotels, with catering food, with all these things, all these amenities. It's not cheap for one. Two, not only does it cost them stuff or cost them a lot of money, but they're also losing a lot of money because they don't have fans. They don't have the game day revenue coming in. And I think that for a league like the NBA, WNBA, NBA, I mean, MLS is still going on as we speak, same with NWSL, but leagues that aren't playing right now, they're going to take their time and wait as long as they can to see if they can get fans back into the stands or more fans, even if it's not the full stadium. Maybe you only do the suites or, I mean, we're seeing leagues right now. They're only allowing, 20, 25, 30% of fans back to the stadium. I think leagues are going to do that. They're going to try to push back as far as they can. With the NBA kind of moving to this calendar, I'm down with it, especially when we see in the finals, you see that the WNBA and NBA are kind of like they're playing on the same day with back-to-back games. I think it's really cool, and it's a great exposure for the WNBA to have that because, I mean, I think it just leads to more viewership. The only thing I see – only a couple things I see that prevent the NBA from doing that. One, you're basically telling these guys you can't play in the Olympics anymore unless you come up with some kind of almost like soccer where, all right, you're on the national team duty. Come back with us later, depending on – or maybe you take a break in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the third hockey mention. Doesn't hockey like stop – didn't they like stop their season for like – 3 weeks or whatever the Olympics was, like, to allow their players to go play for the Olympic teams.
Hey, man, you on the wrong podcast.
I think so, because, like, half the league is, like, Canadian and Russian, and then there's, you know, American and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're like, yeah, we got to let these guys go play for their, like, national teams, like, that sort of thing. So, like, if the NBA just stopped for a month while these dudes went and go played for Team USA, like, I think everybody would be cool with it. Because then you'd already be in playing in basketball shape. It's not like you have to like get ramped up earlier in the season or whatever. It's just a break in the middle of the season every 4 years.
Bro, yeah. Like we keep referencing hockey so much, I would have thought we love hockey.
I do love the Mighty Ducks movie though.
All right.
Emilio Estevez. Emilio Estevez did his thing, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. He did his thing.
Where is he now? Nowhere.
I don't know where he is right now, to be honest.
And the other thing I think that would hold the NBA back from doing this is because there is the thought of there's less viewership overall in normal times during the summer because people are traveling more, they're on vacation more, etc. I'm not a viewership expert. I'm not sure how true that is. Maybe you might lose, I don't know, 5% of viewership, 10%. I'm not sure, but if you're really into basketball, and especially those with the playoffs that would be happening towards the summer, I feel like people will still tune in. Now, obviously, people are tuning in a lot because we're in a pandemic and people ain't out there like that. But I would love to think, or I guess assume, that people are going to tune in to the NBA playoffs regardless if it's in the June, April, May, June, or if it's in June, July, and August. But these bubbles, and maybe they even do small bubbles. if they can't get it going. Like, they had to push until March, and they realized, man, we can't have these players traveling all across the world or all across the nation trying to play these games. So maybe they do like a bubble in Chicago, a bubble down in Florida, a bubble in Vegas, and maybe they have like smaller bubbles where they can have
that would teams. Cost more money though, would it?
It depends, because it simply depends. But I think they're going to do their best to make sure they don't have to do bubbles, and they're going to try to get to as normal as possible, whether that's a full stadium or full arenas. Remains to be seen, but they're gonna try to make their money back simply because they lost a lot out during this pandemic.
That's facts. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of It's Just Jokes. For Kobe Price, for Derek Small, for Jesse Pink, for Dre, myself, Joshua. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to King Boy and Jay Alizier for the outro music. We appreciate you guys. Tune in next time, and we'll see you guys soon.
This Too Hot, Scorpio.